Episode 43, April the 18th, 2011. Apollo 12 and Captain Richard Gordon. Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a not-for-profit amateur astronomy podcast produced by me, Gurbir Singh, an amateur astronomer based in the UK. For more information, see the About and FAQ pages at www.astrotalkuk.org. 1969 is remembered for the unique event in history, Apollo 11 and the first men, Neil and Buzz, on the surface of the moon. Before the year was out, another three men headed the same way. On November the 19th, Pete Conrad and Alan Bean position-landed Apollo 12 in the Ocean of Storms, within walking distance of Surveyor 3, which had arrived a couple of years earlier. The command module pilot Richard Gordon waited in lunar orbit whilst Conrad and Bean made two lunar EVAs during the 31 hours they were on the lunar surface. In April, Captain Dick Gordon came to Pontefract in England. Gordon is one of several astronauts who've made that particular journey under the auspices of Ken Willoughby. This episode is a video recording, starting with my short interview and then the Q&A at the end of the public presentation. You spent almost 4 days around lunar orbit. That must be a lasting memory that you have. Do you remember it still? Do you dream about it?
No, I don't think about it that much. I think when we talk about it, like now, that I recall and remember it. That was a part of an eight-year segment of my lifespan, a very small one, but it was a great experience, which I recall vividly. If that's the right word, which I think it probably is.
On the way back, you were, I think, perhaps the only, certainly the first crew to see a solar eclipse. Can you recall that experience?
Oh, very, very much so. We were surprised. It was in the flight plan. We knew we were going to fly through the shadow of the Earth. But we weren't mentally, I don't think, prepared for the sight that we were going to see. As either the sun went behind the Earth or the Earth went in front of the sun, whichever way orbital mechanics at that time would be working.
Right.
But one of the problems we had, we didn't realize it was going to be that spectacular. We ran out of film. So we didn't have... We had the Hasselblad, it was black and white, but we used the data acquisition camera with various filters to provide the color picture. If we had realized, even knowing we were going to experience that it was going to be as spectacular as it was, we'd have probably saved a little bit of the 70mm film. But nonetheless, it was captured. It didn't last very long.
It didn't?
Just a few minutes. No, because... As you flew through it, the sun came right back out from behind the Earth.
Oh, of course, she was moving.
Well, it's trajectory.
Yeah.
I'm sure we didn't go through the umbra of the eclipse, but we probably went through just the very edge of it.
You would have commanded Apollo 18 had things gone according to plan, isn't that right?
Hopefully so, but it didn't happen.
And where is your rocket now? Was it in the museum somewhere?
Yes.
All right.
I look at it.
Was it in the museum somewhere?
Yes,
right.
I look at it every now and then.
Which
parts
it?
Of it are in Houston, and the other, I think the third stage is at the Apollo facility at the Cape.
All right.
But some of that hardware is still there.
And my last question. Most of you astronauts were involved in the design of spacecraft, and always curious, the LEM had four legs. And I would have thought three would have been perhaps more appropriate.
Well, I've always questioned that too, and I never got a good answer, because you're absolutely right. three legs, regardless of the length of them, is stable.
Yeah.
You know, you can make three legs as different lengths and everything, but if you land on the surface, it's going to be a stable platform.
Right.
But I think they designed four because they were concerned probably two things, the surface tension, it was unknown, and the fact that it had to sustain the weight of the of both stages, the descent stage and the ascent stage. So, so those two things might have been a consideration.
The
engineer
question is, what the requirement was they had to get in what we call a clear lunar orbit, which translated to simply say that they had to get into an orbit around the moon that was at least 10 miles high. My station around the moon is 60 miles. So I was trained in case they had a problem that I could rendezvous with them as opposed to them rendezvousing with me at 60 miles. So I was trained to do that. And I also was trained to come home by myself. I spent a lot of time in the command module by myself, performing the one-man job of accomplishing that for three men to do. But it could be done, and I would have come home alone, not very happily. Those are good friends, and I would have had a tremendously sad trip. In 3 days, I guess, personal agony. But I would have done it. Actually, when they got back and we docked, we equalized the pressure between the two vehicles. By opening a valve and hatch and the pressure was equalized, I had the task of taking the hatch that separated the two vehicles, pulling it out to open up the tunnel so they could come back in. I looked down there and all I could see was a black cloud. Those guys were so dirty and so dusty from the lunar material that they brought back with them that I was not allowed them in my clean commander. Good people that they were, I cast over a couple of gunny sack bags, made a lot of bags. They took off their pressure suits and took off their clothes and passed them over to me for storage. And Pete and Al became the first space strippers.
NASA always splashed you down in the ceiling, yet the Russians landed on the ground. Apparently a lot of the astronauts were sick when they used to splash about. Why did they never attempt to land on the ground?
Right, why did the Americans land in the sea whilst the Russians landed on land? Why didn't the Americans land on land?
Okay, good question. There's a technological reason, and the best one, we'd have a hell of a good navy. they came and got it. No, it was a design requirement. Let me go through this a little bit. I hope we can shorten the explanation. But we were launching from Cape Kennedy, which is on the east coast of the United States. We were launching in an easterly direction to take advantage of the speed that the rotation of the Earth gives us. So we launched in an easterly direction. Not over land, but over water. In case we had an abort situation during the launch, we were going to land in the water. So all the missions were either designed in Gemini, Mercury and Gemini, either land in the Atlantic or Pacific. All of the lunar return missions were in the Pacific. But there was a technical reason for that. The Soviet Union, well, obviously launching over land, had to provide the structural integrity in their vehicles to be able to land on land. We had to, and there were two other reasons. They flew their vehicle with 100%, I mean, one atmosphere, just like we have here, 15 PSI. The American vehicles, because they were flying in 100% oxygen, could get away with a third of the atmosphere in the vehicle, say some 5 psi pounds per square inch, which simply translated we needed less structure. And by having less structure, we didn't have to have the huge, massive boosters that the Soviet Union possessed at that time. So those requirements of being able to land in the water, and because of that structural reduction, we could not land on land. The vehicle wouldn't sustain it, nor with the human body inside of it. And the Russians were able to do that by having huge parachute systems, plus the fact that they had a probe. Well, initially in Vostok, they ejected before they landed. Yuri Gagarin and all the folks that flew in Vostok and Voskhod. The transition, they went from ejection seats in the vehicle, so they didn't have to stay in it, to a system where they had huge parachutes. Excuse me, and it had a retro rocket system. That simply means they had a probe that when they sensed that they were in close proximity to the Earth, some small rockets would fire, holding them up momentarily, slowing them down away from the Earth so they could land in a very gentle manner. So the requirements of structure, having to have the ability to land in water anyway, with the Navy that was going to come and get us, hopefully, no matter where we landed. So those things all combined allowed those two differences to exist. And of course now, with wings on the vehicle, we can land on land also.
Today's quote is from Apollo 12 commander Pete Conrad as he stepped onto the surface of the moon. Whoopee! Man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but it's a long one for me.